QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, an offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q.
Tom, good evening, W6AWL.
Well, good evening, Art. And what do you have for us this evening?
Important upcoming. We are under a red flag watch from Thursday through Saturday. That means everybody, look out there, look for the red flags, look for fires. Don't hesitate, call if you see something. This is important for everybody to be aware of and watch out there. They would rather you hear from you than not hear from you. That's part of what we're doing. It's a red flag watch. I've got the information from county. It's through Thursday through Saturday, maybe sooner. Just keep an eye out there. Thanks, Tom. Back to you. W6AWL.
Okay, Art, good information there. Thursday through Saturday, red flag warning. Everybody keep their eyes open. Good deal. Thanks for that announcement. Any other announcements, please come back to net control. All right, I have a couple announcements here. This upcoming Saturday is the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club meeting with the tech hour starting at 5:30 and the general meeting starting at 6:30. This tech hour tech session this Saturday will be talking about repeaters 101, basically how the repeater works, all the functions inside, what makes it tick, and then, of course, then a general business meeting at 6:30, which we've got some great stuff to discuss. And a lot of the other upcoming nominations and stuff for this next year. Also, the following Sunday, the next day at 1 o'clock at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station, is where it all happens. 1 o'clock there, we'll be doing ham testing. Walk-ins are allowed. So, fire station there, Big Bear Lake. Saturday is the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club meeting. Sunday, amateur testing. Alrighty, good deal. Let's get going here. Topic for the evening, we'll be pulling from the ARRL QST magazine for November. If you have that, you can kind of follow along with us. If not, just listen up. We'll try to get everything clear. This article is on emission designators, deciphered. Sounds pretty confusing. Not really. Just good information to have and to know, and then basically shelf put it on the shelf someplace. This is on page 41. Of the ARRL QST for November. All right, but first let's get our roster going here of the people who check in just about all the time here, starting with WB6CLZ, Mike.
Good evening, Tom and the Tech Tuesday group. This is WB6CLZ and we're in Placentia today.
Good evening, Mike. Good signal there. Sounding great. How about WB6CIN? Is she nearby?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
Well, good evening, Cindy. Great signal. Yours is always better than Mike's, though. Hi. All right. KA6CIA, George.
Hey,
And nothing heard there. How about KE6RJ and KE6QI? And we don't hear Harry and Nancy out there. And you know what? I'm going to throw this guy in there. I know he's out there. How about W6AWL, Art?
Yeah, I was just a couple of steps away from the microphone. Here we are. Everybody watch out for fires and let us know. W6AWL.
Okay, Art, good deal. I figured I'd catch you away from the mic. Anyway, moving on down the list here. Let's see, I got KJ6HCS, Mike.
Evening, Tom and everybody. KJ6HCS.
Good evening there, Mike. Take care over there. And courtesy check-in for your dad, K6EKX. Next I have WA6ITC, Rod.
Yeah, from Lake Williams, WA6ITC.
Good evening, Rod, over there from the east side, far east side there, Big Bear. Appreciate you being out there. And let's see, next I have here is KJ6FIL, Mike, another Mike, down in the red ones.
Good evening all, KJ6FIL.
And next I have here is KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary.
KJ6KDL here with KDK, and we just had that dropout. I hope I marked it.
Okay, good deal. Keep track of that. We're tracking that down hard and fast. Pretty much know where it's coming from now. Next I have on my list here is WB6PBZ. Let's see if Ray's out there. No, Ray. I think he's out there eating dinner. How about W6GZI Frank? Don't know if he's still on the hill. He might be gone for the season.
This is W6GZI. I'm off the hill for the season, and we're at Desert Hot Springs right now. I can't get in from Yucca Valley, but when we're out in the motorhome, we can get in. Over.
Well, Frank, you got a great signal into the repeater from Desert Hot Springs, and we're going to have to fix that with Yucca Valley, by golly. We need to get, we'll have to put a big mirror up there in a balloon in the sky or something. Glad to have you with us. Next, I have KI6IQA, Kelly. And nothing heard there. How about K6GVL, Ron in Green Valley? Nothing heard. How about AD6PL, Harold in Riverside?
You mean AD6PL?
Good evening, Harold. Glad to have you checking in from Riverside. Sounds like you're going to get some warmer weather and some wind down there here pretty quick. Next I have, we'll give him a shout out there, see if he's out there, K6LCS Quint. And nothing heard there. How about KJ6PYV, Dave?
Good evening, Tom and the net, KJ6PYV, checking in.
Well, good evening, Dave. Glad to have you out there, and thanks for checking in up here in Sugarloaf. W6JLM Judith and W6KMM Ken, are you out there this evening?
This is W6KMM and W6JLM. We are here this evening.
Well, good evening there, Ken and Judith, and I hope everything's good with you. And thanks for being out there from another part of Sugarloaf. Next, I have K6YNW Chris. The lower desert.
Howdy doody, K6YNW.
Good evening, Chris, and glad to have you out there. Let's see, next I have W6POO, also from the low desert.
W6POO here, no traffic.
Well, good evening there, Chip. Glad to have you out there. Appreciate you checking in with us this evening. I have next here KD6LEN Bill from Boulder Bay. Nothing heard there. Moving on to the second page here, I have AE6CK Victor.
Good evening, Tom and Vanette. Victor, Santa Fe Springs.
good evening, Victor, and thanks for checking in from Santa Fe Springs. Appreciate you being out there. How about KA6ROD, Rod from Moonridge?
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
And good evening, Rod. Thanks for being with us this evening. Let's see if we got KB6LCY, Christy from Ethel Valley.
Good evening, Tom in the net, KB6LCY.
And good evening, Christy. Glad to have you out there. Let's give W6JET. Rob, how are you doing out there this evening?
Doing real good. Good evening to the net, W6JET.
Glad to have you with us this evening, Rob, and thanks for checking in. Let's see if we have K9AOG Steven from Long Beach. And nothing heard out there. How about KJ6RAY? And nothing heard. Well, that pretty much is our basic list. Of course, I've probably missed a couple here. Let's see here. Anybody else out there like to check in as a guest? And I'll try to get you on the main list here if I've missed you.
This is WA6DLB. Hi, Tom.
WA6DLB. Donna, glad to have you out there. And keep checking in like this. We'll put you on here on the main list. How's that? Well, I appreciate that. Anybody else? All right. Well, anybody else out there listening, if you're all free to check in at any time to comment, question, or just downright add something to what we're saying out there, not a problem. Well, let's get started here. And first thing we have is our DX and DX report with the solar report, solar weather. Mike, WB6CLZ, I'll get it out there. What do we have this week? What's going on out there?
Hey, Tom. Well, things are looking up. About for the last week. Well, I'll give you the report first. Space weather at the last time I looked about a half an hour ago was reporting a sunspot number of 86 and a solar flux index of 144 solar flux units. MUF has been up there. Like the maximum, that I think we've explained it before, the maximum usable frequency, which is the highest frequency that will support somewhat reliable communication. Then up in the high 30 megahertz. Today it almost got up to 35 megahertz, which is pretty cool. And 10 meters has been hot, and all of the three or four of the high bands on the HF, 15, 10, and 12, and 17 meters have all been cooking. It's pretty routine now that we can get into Europe and Africa, Scandinavian countries in the morning, and we can work South Americans pretty regular in the afternoon. Another thing that I probably should mention is we've had a couple of pretty good solar flares go off. We had an M9, which is almost an X-class flare, which is the largest flares that we encounter. And we had an X1 go off today. So pretty cool. Things are happening, and pretty reliable communications all around the world are starting to come to pass. So cycle 24 starting to heat up and looking good. Let's see if anybody's got some cool DX to report. Back to you, Tom.
Well, appreciate that, Mike. Anybody else have anything with any DX out there like to add to that? Please come back. Well, Mike, I think you have the market cornered on DX reports, by golly. Anyway, well, let's move ahead here. Emission designators. By golly, that's hard to say. And we're going to decipher these. This article is by K-I-K-A-I. I'm not sure how that's pronounced. Suiak. Very difficult to pronounce. That's K-E-4-P-T. Call sign. Good article. Probably have pronounced that totally wrong. But anyway, Mike, what in the old school meant in old school fashion, what's an emission designator? What is that?
Yeah, this is quite a bit different. I've really never seen this before, so this is going to be a very neat learning experience to me, too. In the older days, well, when we said A1, we meant CW. When we said A3, we meant AM, or you know, well, that was kind of before sideband, but A3 was AM, and you know, that was about all we had to deal with. Now we have a myriad of things, PSK34, JT65, and on, RIDI, and just all kinds of cool stuff. But we're going to get into it, so yeah, not quite as simple as it used to be. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, and actually, you know, this is not something that you need to know every day, but it's kind of good to know exactly what the jumble of mess is. Yeah, A1 meaning amplitude modulation, the 1 meaning Morse code or CW continuous wave modulation, and A3 also amplitude modulated, the 3 meaning phone, or basically what we're doing right here. This is FM, by the way, but back then the 3 would mean just phone communications, basically over microphone and speaker, stuff like that. So, well, anyway, yeah, there are so many different things out there now. It's just totally off the charts. And I'll give you an example. This is a new designator, which is 100HA1AAN and 6K0A3E. And there you go. We're going to let you know, and here in a few minutes, we're going to actually know what the heck that all meant. And so at least if you see it, you'll know how to get an idea anyway. Well, Mike, let's see. I would say, starting out here, there's a whole lot of characters there. And I think they have this, there's like a 9-character alphabet soup. You want to go ahead and take it from there.
I will try, Tom. Okay. Well, just quickly, we'll take the first half of that. The 100H. Well, that is 100 hertz. So that's pretty self-explanatory, pretty simple, and, you know, that's easy to decipher. But there's more. And like you say, it's a 9-character alphabet soup, which is the emission designator, they call it, like you had said. And it's used by the regulation people, the spectrum regulators, they call themselves, around the world. They use those to define what types of signals you can transmit in various parts of the frequency spectrum. And I guess you can find right down to the nitty-gritty, the whole detail in what's called the FCC reports and orders. And that what that does is describes all of the ones that are relevant to the amateur radio service. And I guess what we're going to do is we're going to get into it and see if we can understand that. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, and essentially, even like right here where we are on the 2-meter repeater, the 2-meter band, and this is FM. And of course, FM can stand for many things, but in this case, it stands for frequency modulated. But even other parts of the 2-meter band, some are for single sideband, some areas are for also satellite communications, weak signal, et cetera, et cetera. So these designators actually put a formal name on all that. I guess it's too simple to say single sideband or FM. But, hey, you know what? It all puts it out there. And like Mike said, the first 4 digits are basically the bandwidth. Like here, if we have something to do with Morse code, 100 hertz, plenty of bandwidth. That is the bandwidth that's required. And then, of course, high-speed Morse is 150 hertz. So bandwidth. So 20 kilohertz, 220K4, which is 20, the K meaning 1,000, the 4, not sure what that 4 means, but anyway, you know, it's actually 20,400. So the first 4 is if there's a K, the K stands for 1,000. If there's an M, it's million or mega, G for giga, and this, the plain old H, means hertz. So, you know, that's how that designator goes, and that's the first 4, so it's kind of like a bandwidth thing. Now, as we get into the others, the first 3 actually are not too far different from the originals, at least the first 2. Is that correct, Mike?
That is correct, Tom. The first symbol is the type of modulation of the main carrier, and the second signal is the nature of the signal modulating the main carrier. So that'd be the first two. I'll hit the next couple too. The third is the type of information transmitted. And then we take the fourth and the fifth, and they're optional. The fourth we don't use in the amateur service. It's details of the signal and nature of multiplexing. So that gets us up to the first five symbols.
You know, and actually, when they say types of modulation, okay, well, we have double sideband, which to me is just basically AM modulation. Then you have single sideband full carrier, which is why bother with single side. Well, anyway, I'm not going to go there. Anyway, single sideband reduced carrier or variable carrier, single sideband suppressed carrier, independent sidebands, and vestigial sideband. Ooh, there's a big word. By the way, vestigial sideband is how the old standard was for TV transmission. And those are types of emissions there. So, of course, then it could be the main carrier could be frequency modulated. It could be phase modulated. When we have an emission of pulses, it could be a sequence of pulses modulated in amplitude, modulated in width or duration. Modulated in position or phase. So, Mike, there's a lot more forms of types of modulation than when we did have the A1, A3, and I guess this is why we have all the designators. So, tell me about some of the other nature of the modulated signal. Back to you, Mike.
Hey, Tom. Yeah, it's getting pretty heavy here. Well, the real simple one is zero, which is no modulated single signal. And then we go to one. It's a single channel containing quantized or digital information without use of a modulating subcarrier, excluding time division multiplex. That's way out there. It could be a single channel containing quantized or digital information with the use of a modulating subcarrier excluding time division multiplex. That's number two. We can get into a single channel containing analog information, two or more channels quantized or digital information, two or more channels containing analog information, composite system with one or more channels containing quantized or digital information, and you can see how we're going. What about the type of information transmitted, Tom? Back to you.
You know, and boy, that's almost hard to get all out there, Mike. I'm going to tell you. And this is why we have these designators, because it has expanded over the last 50, 60 years into so many different types. We now have over-the-air digital TV, which is, it's out there, it's being transmitted, but it's nowhere near like what it used to be. Different types of modulation, different types of bandwidth. So, and if you actually saw the designator, it might give you a clue of actually how that's being done. But anyway, we'll take the third set. Are basically the most of what you'd ever see, if you're going to see anything. With a symbol 3, we have telegraphy for audio reception, telegraphy for automatic reception. Now, it's telegraphy the same as Morse code. Then you've got fax, we'll just call it fax. Facsimile transmission, which is that's it, transmitting a fax picture. Data transmission, telemetry, telecommand, telephony, including sound broadcasting, television, combination of the above, or cases not otherwise covered, which would be all or none of the above. Anyway, Mike, by golly, I think I got that out there. Mike, you know, going back to the very beginning, bandwidth, what are some good examples of bandwidth? I think they have them back on the first page.
Well, a PSK 3031, as most of us or some of us may know, is probably the most efficient bandwidth-wise, and that is designated as 62 H's in Hotel 5. Well, basically, the H stands for the decimal point, and so you know, in hertz, and the frequency in hertz. So you know it's 62.5 hertz. And then we go, like you mentioned, CW, which is 100 hertz. JT65, which is used a lot in, it's a digital mode that we use a lot in moon bounce and EME communications. And that, for instance, is 175H or 175 hertz. That's real simple. RIDI, just the regular 170 shift 45 baud teletype, 250H, which is 250 hertz. And then sideband, which most of us are acquainted with, is 2K80, which is 28 hertz or 2 kilohertz, 2.2.8 kilohertz. And then what I'm gabbing on right now is 12K5, which is 12.5 kilohertz. And, you know, that's pretty much what we use in amateur, unless we get really exotic. And, Tom, you did drop out at 7:23, so I'll get a time on the next one when it happens, if it happens. Back to you, Tom.
Oh, okay, Roger that. Appreciate that. And 12.5 kilohertz, basically, I think we're going to call that narrow band. I think that's the narrow band is all of that. Wide band used to be 25K. And, of course, if you're not aware out there, ham radio is still what it is, but a lot of the commercial services, first responders, aviation, just about every public service out there, all making the big switch here come January 1st, 2013, to narrowband, trying to squeeze more stuff out of there with using the technology that we have. Anyway, a little sidebar on that. Well, Mike, this is pretty cool, but by golly, I hope I don't have to memorize these. And I'm going to say probably as a VEC examiner, I don't think these are on the test. Back to you, Mike.
Yeah, Tom, I think I would have had a hard time memorizing those. Anyway, well, you know, and then kind of wrapping this up, I think we're pretty much there. And this is kind of used for spectrum regulators, like we said. It's nothing we really need to know on a regular basis. It's just something that we should be aware of if we ever need to know it, which I don't know if I ever will. But I'll tell you, this guy, Kai, the KE4PT that wrote the article, he has got quite a list here. I mean, he's a PhD specializing in antenna and propagation, registered professional engineer, senior member of the IEEE, which is the Engineering Society, holds 40 patents. I mean, and it goes on and on and on. Pretty up there guy, pretty educated and knowledgeable guy. So I guess he knows what he's talking about. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good biography there of what he's been, where he's been, and what he's done. So definitely got something going there. Well, Mike, yeah, that is pretty much our article this evening. Pretty neat, just kind of interesting, a little bit of deciphering there. I'd like to take the time right now to mention that in these QSTs, hey, if you got a soldering iron and the will to build, there are here's a big word, plethora. There is a plethora of different little things to build that are really, really cheap. A lot of this stuff is real, actually, a lot of this stuff can still be acquired at Radio Shack, even though they have reduced their inventory. And a lot of this stuff, too, a lot of these have different hams out there that offer a little kit of parts, so you don't have to hunt this stuff down. Pretty neat, very economical, and a lot of them, if you already are a builder and you've got a parts box kicking around, a lot of this stuff is already in your parts box. It's really neat little things. You're like, well, how many things is there out there to build? Well, there's like a million, zillion, no, quadrillion, zillion. Right, Mike?
Yeah, Tom, if you look around, there's so many different kits. As a matter of fact, on page 61, they have a DZ kit, they call it. It's called an HT7, 40-meter AM handheld transceiver. Things only, well, not cheap. $169 without the battery pack, the whip antenna, and this and that. But, kind of neat. Looks like an old Heath kit or one of the old ones back in the 60s that we used to convert the CBs and convert the other ones to ham so we could play around with them. But, yeah, a lot of stuff out there, Tom. Thank you.
You know, and with that, like you say, it's not actually the cheapest way to go. If you just want to get on the air, press the button and talk and that's it, then by golly, this is not the way to go, because this is going to, you know, not only is it going to cost you a lot of money, but you got to put the thing together correctly. I do emphasize that part, correctly. But there's a lot of other different things, too, that are a lot simpler and parts clock stuff, and you'd be surprised. A lot of information online. If you just go online and start searching electronic circuits or things like that, you'll find a huge number of DIY sites, organizations out there with a lot of good information. And if you're just beginning or starting out, or you'd like to start out, do that search, Google search online, because just about every one of these sites has an area on them called tutorials, and they will literally take you from a light bulb, two wires, and a battery, you know, all the way up to probably doing some advanced electronics and soldering, maybe even to some of the surface mounted stuff. So, and everything in between, very easy to understand. Well, anyway, anybody else out there with any questions, comments, or suggestions before we get close to closing the net here?
Hey, Tom, one more time, W6AWL.
Yes, Art, go ahead.
Yeah, you guys do all of that tech, and we'll get to working on that. But another reminder, watch out, red flag warnings, Thursday through Saturday. That's very important to all of us. Keep an eye on the mountains, keep an eye on the hills, keep an eye on everything you've got. Don't hesitate to call. That's what we're up to. If that changes, I will let you all know. Tom, thanks so much for doing that. W6AWL.
Okay, Art, thanks for that information. For anybody who's a late joiner with us this evening regarding red flag warning up here in Big Bear, once again, Thursday through Saturday, that time frame can change. A little flexible if that's where it stands right now. And we'll all keep our eyes open out there, see what's going on. That's what it's all about. Well, anyway, anybody else out there, any comments or questions or suggestions, please come back to KF6Q before we get ready to close the net. Okay, nothing heard out there. Mike, anything to say in closing?
Well, not much. Great article. I mean, I'd never seen this stuff before, so every one of these is a learning experience for me. Very cool. Hopefully everybody else is getting something out of this and kind of helps them, kind of spurs them on to getting some technical interest in ham radio. Hey, thanks a lot for hosting this Tech Tuesday. Back to you, Tom.
A question?
Go ahead.
When you guys download the digital QST, how many gigabytes is that?
Good question. I have not done that yet. Mike, have you done that?
Have not, Tom. I'm a paper book in hands type of guy. But you know what? I will check that out. That is an interesting question. Let me see if I can find that out. Thank you.
Okay, the reason I'm asking, we're on dial-up, so those things are important. K6YNW.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Not too sure how well that would work on dial-up, but I think Mike can see what he can find out there. Interesting little thing I'd like to add here. If you're out there, if you ever remember Popular Electronics or Radio Electronics, Electronics Illustrated, a lot of magazines from the past, way past, Radio Electronics, also, they have a website now. I don't know if it's the same people. But anyway, they used to be just packed full from a lot, like Don Lancaster and Sims and all these other guys that just love writing articles every month. And actually, the QST, I found over the last few years, is starting to include a lot of these neat little articles and a little build of things. So, kind of encouraging, especially when you can see, okay, well, you know what? This is what I kind of want to do, but I'm not sure how to go about it. And by golly, here's the guy he's done it, and he shows how it works, and here's where all the parts go. Anywhere from auto tuners up to you name it, it's out there. So really recommend this. Like I said, this is the magazine, the QST itself is worth joining the ARRL. $39 a year. That makes, that's less, that's just barely over, what, $3 an issue, $3 a month, and you get tons of other benefits too there. So anyway, Mike, any luck in that, or how you doing with that?
In a normal situation, I would have, but I'm downloading 107 gigabyte Windows updates, so I'm not very fast tonight. But Chris, I'll try to get that and get that back to you or email it to you. Are you good in QSD or QRZ?
Yeah, affirmative. I haven't had much problem downloading 80 megabytes, but, well, as I say, if I could get a rough figure, yeah, I might even try it. K6YNB.
Well, Chris, I'll tell you what, if I got it, tell you what I can do. A neat thing here is before they had this online feature, they had the yearly QST for the year on a CD. And if, let's see if I can find, I think I have those issues. Of course, the new ones have a lot of extra features. They could be bigger. But I'm going to say that they're probably, well, stand by 1 second. Let me see what I can find here. I'll have it in just a second. And stand by.
Okay, and I mentioned my a good email, my call at ARL.net. This is K6YNW.
And KF6Q here. If I can, I really need to change my way of anyway, okay, well, let's see what we got here. We have one of these in here, and let's see, this is the library area. Oh, here we go, magazines, duh. Okay, QST, typically, and I don't have anything there. Well, okie dokie. Well, right now I don't know, Chris, but I'm going to guess that it's probably maybe 20 meg as a guess, 20 to 40 meg. So as a guess, might be a little bit bigger, but I can't see it being much bigger than that.
Okay, might give it a try. Thank you. K6YNW.
As an example, QEX, which is a sister magazine, actually, that you have to subscribe to separate, they tend to run around 10 megabytes, as I see those here. Oh, I don't have anything here. I have these under here, QST. Anyway, but yeah, 10 megabytes, 20 megabytes, somewhere in there, maybe 40 at the most. Can't seem bigger than that, so. All right, well, anyway, anybody else out there, any information or questions before we close the net?
Oh, KF6Q, this is KJ6KDL. Can you just cover something for about a minute? I'm checking a timer thing.
All right, well, good deal there, Jim. And Jim, appreciate all the help. Just to let a few people know, we made a trip up to our repeater up top of the hill this last weekend, had a lot of good help from some locals here. And I got a few more things back in operation. This Saturday, we're going to talk about some upgrades that we have planned and get the opinion of the members, make sure we have the approval of the members. Good stuff in store for 2013, and it's going to be pretty neat. So looking forward to that. And also, if you have noticed, we've had time to time we've had some issues with the repeater. However, we've tried to get that back in operation within less than 24 hours. Sometimes it's just not possible to do it immediately. And we're working on that feature too, upcoming next year, at a special link that we're installing, a lot more control over what's up there from down here, because basically as we approach winter, that site up there becomes very, very, very difficult to get to, if not almost impossible. Anyway, Jim, KJ6KADL, a little modulation there for you. How did that do?
Okay, I went through a marker I was hoping to hit, but I got two things we can talk offline. I'm going to pull this in as they're playing with it, but I thought I had something, but it didn't show up unless it happened to me.
Okay, roger that. Well, good deal. Yeah, maybe I'll give you a call here in a minute if that's all right.
Roger. As soon as we're done, I'm going to go pull the recorder and see what I picked up.
All right, good deal. And just one more thing on here as I'm going through this issue. Page 46, really cool. Have fun building the simplest transmitter. This has got to be probably the neatest thing. I mean, this doesn't even look like a transmitter. It's built with some wood, like out of part of a wood crate. Got one tube, one crystal, some wire around hand wound around a core of it's homemade, and gotta tell you, this has got to be the coolest thing I've seen in a while. I have no idea what this would cost to build, but I'm going to take a stab out there with this the 6V6 tube, or a 6F6. Of course, you can't find that tube. You might, well, you get them online. You can get them through eBay. They're out there. So things probably, maybe we can cover this just to show some of the construction methods and how simple they are in an upcoming issue. Anyway, so let me reset. We're very glad to have everybody out there listening this evening. And everybody who's joined us, thanks for checking in. Thanks for listening up. Neat little thing to do there about the different modulation methods and stuff like that. Probably nothing we have to write home to mom about, but anyway, good stuff to know anyway. Well, QST, 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 just like the magazine. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. Closing the net at 1900 hours, 41 minutes. Returning the repeater to normal use. Thanking everybody else out there one more time. And don't forget, keep your eyes open from Thursday through Saturday. Red flag warning up here in Big Bear. Just keep our eyes open. And if you see something that just even looks like something, 911. Thanks again, and we'll see you again next week. This is KF6Q. We'll be clear and standing by.